Mike Douglas Show. This is Louis Satchmo Armstrong. I'm Mike's co-host for the week, and with us on today's show will be Anna Maria Albergetti, Monty Rock, Studs Terkel, Joe Hornell, and the band. And now here's Mike.
Plus sign goes up, I'm a flop. I hear music, a Joe Harnell's music, the murmur of a morning breeze up there, the rattle of the milkman on the stair. Sure, that's music, mighty fine music, the singing of a sparrow in the sky, the purging of the coffee right nearby. There's my favorite melody, and you're my angel phoning me. Yeah, that's music, a mighty fine music. And anytime I think my world is wrong, I get me out of bed and sing this song. That's my favorite melody, and you're my cutie calling me. I hear music, a mighty fine music. And anytime I think my world is wrong, I get me out of bed and sing this song.
Tell you, we've got the first team here tonight. Second team's waiting outside. Let us in, let us in. I want you to meet, this has been a special week in my life because there are a lot of people in this business, in show business, and some, you know, are greater than others, and some are legend. And did you ever see anything anywhere in the world that makes you feel good in here? No, I'm saying, would you quit? Give that lady an Alka-Seltzer. Well, when he walks out, wherever he is in this whole world, and they know him everywhere in the world, everybody does this. And that's just what's going to happen to you right now. Here's the great Satchmo himself, Louis Armstrong. Satchmo! Satchmo!
Thank you, folks. We're going to beat out a tune that came from the album of Walt Disney's songs that I just made for all the songs that Disney wrote. I made an album of them. But here's one I like. Oh, Disney. Now, zip-biddy-doo-dah, zip-biddy. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Nothing sunshine coming my way. Zip-biddy-doo-dah, zip-biddy. Mr. Bluebird, oh, show. It's the truth, it's actual. Everything is satisfaction room. Everything's Suzanne. Everything is. If I'm feeling I said Mr. Cooper on my shoulder. It's the truth. Wonderful feeling. Wonderful, yeah.
That was something. Was that kind of a little plug you got in there for the album?
Speaking of,
I never heard you do a plug before.
I don't know. It's so many beautiful tunes in there, and I don't want the fans to pass it up.
How many records have you sold in your lifetime, do you think?
Well, you know, I've sold millions of them.
I know.
But when
how many gold records have you?
Well, I got a few all around the house, but I got one for Dolly. I keep in my den, you know, the main one.
Hello, Dolly.
Yes, but as far as checking up on how many records, you know, Mr. Grazer used to take care of all that, you know.
You don't bother about that, huh?
No, because I'd rather blow, you know, and entertain the people, and we're so close, you know, everything comes out.
Do me a favor, will you bring the gold record of Hello, Dolly? How many records? You sold more than a million of that.
Oh, yes.
Three or four million.
All over the world. Yeah. I mean, it's a big sale there. You know?
And it's since doing it in the picture, and it'll probably rejuvenate that thing, yeah.
And it's still going again, yeah. It's doing
what
fine.
Do you think about when you're performing and you look at an audience? It's seriously, you're the only person I know that when you're on the stage, the whole audience is smiling and they're happy. Yeah. What do you think about when you see all those smiling faces?
I just look back to them days when I played the Academy Theater and all over Philadelphia, and the fans, the same people were there.
Not the same ones.
Well, it's just about...
If they are, they got Dorian Gray pictures at home in the closet.
No, that ain't been too many years ago, you know.
Oh, really?
We played on Lambertville, and there people all around this section. You know, I play a lot of universities all around these sports.
Yeah.
And they're all mixed up.
Do you look at people in the audience when you perform?
Well, sure. I scared them. I love them.
You used to play on riverboats, didn't you?
Yeah, we started out.
What was that like?
Well, it's good old days, you know. We used to go out with an excursion and carry people up and down the river, just like they'd give a dance.
How long was the excursion?
Well, we go 8:30 in the morning, people bring their baskets, and we go all up to Alton, Illinois, out of St. Louis, and up to Minnesota and everything.
What'd they bring in those baskets?
Well, I don't know. They had some good sandwiches. That sometimes I get up in their baskets. And,
oh, yeah?
Yeah. Everybody got their own baskets. Now, that's just one trip. So we go all day on that.
But they come back late at night?
And they come back, and then 8:30, they go out on a moonlight trip.
Oh.
And the boat just sails up and down the river slowly, and we played at the Sandy Hughes playing at a dance hall. And it was beautiful.
Did they have those gamblers on board, those riverboat gamblers?
Yeah, they had gamblers and all
that.
You know, everything.
Did you ever gamble, Louis?
Ask Las Vegas.
Did you leave it there?
Leave it there.
I left my money in Las Vegas.
You see, the trouble with me, if I'm winning, you know what I mean, instead of saying, well, cash in, I look at that stock there. I'm lucky enough to get some more of that, and that's what did it. My luck changes.
Yeah. What's the most you ever won gambling?
Oh, I don't know, about $5,000 or $10,000.
No kidding. What's the most you ever lost, Louis?
Well, I mean, I'm still losing, so you know.
You like to gamble? Do you get nervous when you gamble?
No, I'll tell you. Like I say, they put me in short pants. That means they kept me broke so much, I don't gamble no more.
Ah.
So that makes me feel that I'm ahead if I don't go.
Yeah.
See what I mean? Every time my wife or Joe Glazer for some money, you'd send the money and say, I told you, you can't beat him. You can't beat him.
That's right.
When he give me the money, and, you know. So I had my experience of all the young, foolish days. And
but you don't gamble anymore,
no? No, man. I wouldn't bet on nothing.
Not a ball game or anything like that?
No, nothing. No.
You telling me the truth, Lou?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you.
Yes, sir.
What was it like?
Like I say, in the South, I never let my mouth say nothing that my head can't stand.
You played a lot. Didn't you play a lot during Prohibition?
Well, it's okay.
Did you play no speakeasies, any of those?
Yes, it was started
what was
out.
That? What was it
started
like?
Started out in honky-tonks in the early days and everything.
What was the speakeasy
they always
like?
Had gambling around.
Yeah?
Well, the speakeasy, I mean, you go there and... Well, I mean, in my days, they didn't need no speakeasies in honky-tonks. You just come right on in, you know what I mean, with your 45 on you, you know.
They carried guns on
you? Yeah, guns are better. I've been at a lot of dances. They search you, and they say, you got a pistol on you? I said, no, I got a pistol. Here, take this one.
You had to carry a pistol.
I played in them places.
You couldn't ever use a pistol, could you?
All I'm going to do is blow the horn, man. Yeah, I didn't care what they fight.
You never had to.
I used to play one night stand, and I ain't going to call the town, but when you start sleepy time, the crowd comes to...
Sleepy time down south.
Yeah, they start coming to the stage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And before we get out of that first fast number, some chick done cut a cat right in front of the bandstand.
What's
your name? And I said, Scott, stop, don't do that. But,
Razor?
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh. That cat wound up with a split personality that night, didn't he? Did you ever?
What did you do?
Did you tell her to stop?
Well, I tried to, you know, pacify the situation, but I'm looking for an exit myself. Christmas come up, there ain't gonna be no music.
Did you ever get in one of those spots where you had, and it happened in the band days, where like a fight would break out and they'd play the national anthem right away?
To stop it?
Yeah.
Some fights.
What did you play to stop?
Well, I played, they didn't pay no attention to that. I was playing Star Spangled Banner one time. Ba, ba, da, 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 da. And a soldier, you know, with his face was saluting like that.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he looked around to see if something going to happen, you know.
Oh, really?
Say the fight's going to start while he's doing nothing.
Did you ever drink any of that bathtub gin that they made during Prohibition?
Oh, well, yeah. I did a little everything. That
moonshine?
That was moderate.
It was moonshine. That was
moonshine,
what they made a lot of
in
the South.
And, they made that in Memphis, and a guy gave me a whole... pickle jar full of that.
Of moonshine.
I kept it for years. Every time I want to get stoned at home, I just pull it.
Just a little touch. How much would it take to get you stoned?
One whiskey glass.
That was it. Wipe out.
It lasts me 5 years. Oh, when I want to get out of this world, I just pull it there.
Right. You know, you always took loving care of your trumpet.
Yeah.
I guess most musicians are like that about their instruments.
Well, I don't know about the other... musicians, but the old timers like King Oliver, he always reminded me of that. I must wash my horn.
Because every guy presses those valves differently, don't they?
Well,
and they all do it a little differently.
Too much difference, so much.
But they don't like other people doing it, is what I mean.
Well, it's the mouthpiece they particular about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But the horn don't make no difference.
How'd you take care of your lip all the years you've been blowing that thing, Louie?
Well, I don't know. I thought I kept them in good trim.
Oh, you look marvelous.
Yeah.
You put some special salve on there?
Yeah, well, I put that salve on there.
What's it called?
It's called Ansatz cream. And
what? It's called what?
Ansatz. That's German, too.
Ansatz?
Ansatz. But it...
Is that it?
Yeah.
Where do you get that, in Germany?
They did so much for this cream.
They call it yours now.
They put my name on it, you know.
You get anything from that?
Yeah. Lip salve for nothing. All I want to keep making it.
They don't send you any money for that, just the lip salve.
It's trombone player. It's just a business, a small business.
Oh, I see.
And Mr. Schuritz was a trombone player in a symphony orchestra.
What else do you use? What else do you use that for?
You take a lot of musicians, they don't like this because it's too soft.
It's slippery, isn't it?
Yeah. They go with the alum and all that stuff on their lips, you know, so they can draw the high notes. But this, like the wind in the sun, you know, put this on, it's so nice. Smell it, isn't it? Not much strawberry.
Yeah, smells like that moonshine you were talking about.
No, it ain't that, no. Ain't that bad. But this is good for your corns, too, you know.
For corns?
Yeah.
Why don't you put out another brand and call it Louis Armstrong's corn salve?
They tried their best to analyze this in America.
What's in it? What did they find out?
They couldn't find nothing to come
in. They analyzed it and they couldn't find any ingredients?
Sometimes they have German directions on that. Yeah. Now, what is that? Is that in English?
It says, rub in your lips before sleeping time, also during the day. By numbness of the lips, by numbness of the lips,
German phrase.
Rub them in instantly. Every trumpet player will have the highest results by using Louis Armstrong's lip salve.
Yeah. See, and I tell them, it ain't going to pick you up and carry you, you know. But I mean, in my hometown, you'll have to come outside the door and your lips will split just like a Bigfoot, you know.
But this where's that, in New Orleans, you mean?
Yeah, and then you keep it dry, you know, like on the desert and things like that. Well, that's all it's good for. With a lot of people, they don't believe in some things. You got to concentrate on
something.
You've
been using that for how long?
Since in the 20s. And,
you're kidding.
Oh, yeah. You know how to use
that. Is that German guy still around that made that?
Every now and then he sent me a few cans, you know.
We have a photograph of you rinsing your trumpet, bathing your trumpet.
That's right, every night.
What do you put in it? Just hot water?
Run it under the hot water, see?
Yeah.
Because you're traveling, one night stands, and you stop at the Hoffa houses and the Howard Johnson place and getting the big hamburgers.
Yeah.
And
does it really get dirty, too?
Most of that getting your horn, because you got to get right out the bus and go do a concert.
I see.
But so I clean my horn every night, and I know them notes going to come out instead of them hamburgers, you know?
How many trumpets do you own, Louis?
Well, I don't keep a lot of trumpets because it's always an orphanage or someplace, like the orphanage I came up in, a little band. If I get a new horn, I send the other one down there for them, you know?
That's marvelous.
Sure, I can't play but one horn at a time, you know?
How large? Did I ever ask you, do you have any brothers or sisters?
I got a sister, Mama Lucy.
Uh-huh. Mama Lucy?
Yeah. Her name is Beatrice, but we all call her Mama Lucy.
Did you give her that tag?
No, she had it when I dug her name the first time. Mama was maybe between Mama and Papa. Yeah.
We have a photo of your mama I want to show everybody.
Yeah, that's my buddy there, me and.
There's Mama.
Yeah, that's my buddy.
Oh, she looks lovely.
Oh, Lottie.
How does she discipline you? Is that you and your sister?
No, that's my sister over there. She's 2 years younger than I am.
Uh-huh.
And that's 20 years old there.
Were you 20 there?
Isn't that cute little boy there?
Yeah.
See, I used to part our hair right in the middle there. Call that pompadour, you know.
How was your mama? How did she discipline you? What did she do when you did something wrong?
She whipped the hell out of us. Man, she hit like a man.
Did she? With her fist?
She nailed you. Yeah.
She didn't fool around. Well, look how great you turned out.
So
she did a marvelous job.
She didn't tell me nothing wrong, and we never had
did
too much.
Did she live long enough to see you become successful?
Well, one time in Chicago, 1927, I was doing pretty good because I came up in 1922 and was doing pretty good with Joe Oliver and everything. And when Marianne got sick in New Orleans, you know, I had her to come up because she heard that I wasn't doing so good, no harm, you know. So yeah. She had to come up and see my boy. And when she got up and she got well and everything, so I kept her right up there with me, got a little old flat and everything.
That's nice.
Yeah.
We got a photograph of the band. You talk about King Oliver all the time, Joe Oliver. We got a photograph of you when you were with that man.
Yeah, that's King Oliver there. That's my man. He took more pains with the youngsters
there?
Than anybody of all the trumpet players you can name in New Orleans. He'll tell you when you're playing wrong, you know, when they close down the red light district where he can play no later than 12. Where I was playing at the Honky Tonk, they threw away the key. And he'd come up the rest of the night and spend with me.
Mm-hmm. Who was that there?
And that's me playing slide and cornet.
You playing?
And slide and cornet.
Well, there. I'll be.
Then they had a slide and whistle, and there's Lil, my second wife, at the piano, uh-huh. See? And there's, you got Johnny Dodge there, and you got Bill Johnson, Baby Dodge,
yeah.
Dutre. They're all good boys.
There. Yeah. I want to ask you, a question I've been asking all of my co-hosts about the five most admired people, but I guess we'll have to wait for a little later because we'll have to do that tomorrow.
Anytime.
Okay, we're going to pause here and sell some lip salve.
Ah.